Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Tucker, WWL. I misspoke earlier. It's actually Cokie Riley joins us now, LSU beat writer for The Advocate. How you doing, Cokie?
Doing pretty well. How's it going?
Pretty good. LSU getting ready to get into the SEC part of the schedule here, the real SEC part of the schedule from here on in, other than Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky, nothing but SEC opponents. Tell me what your takeaways are from Saturday night.
Yeah, hard to take too many takeaways when you're playing a team that you're really overmatched against. But I thought Garrett Nussmeier looked much healthier. I thought the defense was doing what the defense does. And then they were able to push the ball a little bit more downfield with this offense. And I think Nussmeier, just looking a little bit more able to do that physically, it felt like that was a factor in this game, even though after the game he wouldn't answer any questions about his torso.
Did it seem as though the LSU offense got to clicking a little bit? Because that's what they were trying to strive for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're pushing the ball a little bit more downfield, the run game was kind of up and down throughout the game, but they were able to be pretty aggressive and fairly successful on deeper throws. And, that's been a weakness of the offense through the first three games.
So when it comes to running the ball, it all goes to the big uglies up front, as Keith Jackson would say?
It's a little bit of that. I thought Weston Davis, the right tackle, had a pretty rough game. Some of it's what's going on at running back, where Caden Durham suffered an ankle injury during the Southeastern game, which meant a little bit more, some more carries for Juwan Johnson, the number two back. He actually played pretty well, but Durham didn't necessarily. So now it's not just the offensive line. Part of it's the running backs hitting the right holes.
So tell me about the LSU defense.
Yeah, I mean, they were just utterly dominant once again. They gave up 10 points, but that was usually when the second stringers were in. Before that, it was almost lucky if Southeastern got a first down. Like, it was hard for them to do really much of anything against this LSU defense that, quite frankly, is one of the best units in the country.
Yeah, 30 yards of offense at halftime, I think it is, for Southeastern. Tell me about Ole Miss. Ole Miss had a somewhat easy time of it with Tulane. Tell me about what LSU's going to be walking into.
Yeah, it's just a good old Ole Miss offense where they're going to spread the ball out offensively in the passing game. They're going to run the ball quite often and do it fairly effectively with these, pretty wide and spread out formations. Like I mentioned, Trinidad Chambliss, the quarterback. We're not sure who the quarterback's going to be, because Austin Simmons, who was supposed to be the starter to begin this season, has been dealing with an ankle injury the last couple weeks. And Chambliss has come in and has played really good ball, as you saw against Tulane and as you saw against Arkansas. So they haven't skipped the beat despite playing the backup. So that's going to be kind of a storyline to watch throughout the whole week.
Tell me about the Ole Miss defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, they're not quite as effective as they were last year when they had tons of guys who were NFL bound. But Ole Miss's defense, they dominated the game this past week against Tulane, Jake Retzlaff, the two-lane quarterback, I don't think he completed a pass in the first half. I think Suntarine Perkins is still there. But I think overall LSU should be able to, handle this Ole Miss defense, because I don't think it's the same unit that they had last year, which it was a really, really strong group. Despite the Tulane score, I mean, Arkansas was able to put up points on the board against them. Granted, Arkansas has a pretty darn good offense, but I think the weakness of this Ole Miss team is their defense.
What is the strength of the Ole Miss team?
It's definitely this offense. I really think that Trinidad Chambliss and Austin Simmons, whoever they get at quarterback, is going to give LSU probably the biggest challenge it's seen so far on defense so far this season. And it's a classic Lane Kiffin offense. They can spread the ball out in the passing game. They run the ball quite often. There's usually some sort of tempo to go along with it as well. But if you can stop them on first down, it makes life a lot more difficult for them, because that's when you're forcing, third and longs, and you're forcing their quarterbacks to get into deeper progressions. And when they're forced to, make plays on deeper progressions, things can sometimes sort of fall apart, because it's very much a reaction offense. I wouldn't even call it a read and react offense, where, the answer, the easy buttons are kind of there for you, quite often, just through the system itself. And, if you're putting pressure on the quarterback and you're forcing those third and longs, it makes life a little bit more difficult for him.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Koki Alexander, the LSU beat writer for the Advocate. We'll take a break, come back. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Apologies to Koki Riley. I don't know where I got Alexander from. LSU beat writer for the Advocate. Koki, let's talk about the AP Top 25 and Koki's Top 25. Differences?
Not the top nine. I kept my top nine the same this week. I debated about moving a couple teams a little bit, but there was a lot of teams off this past week for whatever reason. So I think a lot of the changes came from 10 through 20, heck, 10 through 25, really, but... you look at Indiana moving way up. You're looking at Texas Tech moving way up because of big wins this past week. There's a lot of consternation inside of myself, I should say, about what to do with a Florida State and an Alabama after Auburn had a pretty strong performance despite losing, and trying to figure out what to do with Tennessee after getting another week away from, their pretty crazy game against Georgia. There was a lot of movement in the teams this week. Not a lot going on in the top nine or 10.
So LSU is going to find out who their three regular opponents are, I think, tomorrow or today.
Tomorrow. Today's
tomorrow.
Monday, so tomorrow.
Who do you think they're likely to be?
I think they're going to get Ole Miss. I think they're going to get Texas A&M. And after the third spot is a little bit less clear, but if I had to guess, it's going to be Alabama or Arkansas. It's one of those two.
So tell me again, go back, recap.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Alabama or Arkansas. It's one of those. It's going to be one of those last two for the last spot. And it's going to kind of depend on what they want to do with Alabama. Do they want to have Alabama play Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU as the three constants every single year? Or do they want to drop LSU? Because they're not going to drop Tennessee, and they're definitely not going to drop Auburn. And have LSU play Arkansas every year instead.
Would Alabama pick up instead of LSU?
It's a good question. I'm not quite sure. I mean, it kind of depends. I kind of have to go through every other team and see what that would look like. It would be someone who is traditionally not as quite as difficult as LSU. Mm-hmm. Maybe Vanderbilt. It just kind of depends on, you know, who needs what at that point. But that's kind of the argument for the Arkansas side, even though LSU probably is technically a bigger rival with Alabama. But again, you know, these things are kind of tough for LSU because they don't really have a natural rival or a couple of natural rivals.
I think Alabama's developed in a rival, and you go to that Coke commercial, not that that proves anything. I think it's a Coke commercial. Would LSU prefer not to have Alabama every year?
I think LSU fans want it to happen. And like you said, that, you know, it's become a pretty big rivalry for at least the LSU side. The mm-hmm. problem is it's like Alabama's third biggest rivalry. And does the SEC want to loop Alabama with, you know, three pretty tough games traditionally every single year? That's mm-hmm. That's the question. It's not whether they're rivals or not. I think they are. It's they're the third biggest rival for Alabama because the Tennessee rivalry has more history to it, if we're being honest here. A longer history. And we're talking, you know, like 40, 50, 60 mm-hmm. years sort of thing. And the Auburn rivalry is the Auburn rivalry. So, it's kind of tough for LSU if you want to see that LSU-Bama game every year. And honestly, that's what I want to see personally as a college football fan.
And you got other schools that you got to weave in there too, as well, who might consider themselves a rival of Alabama. Thank you, Cokie. I appreciate it. Cokie Riley, LSU beat writer for The Advocate. When we come back, it's time to talk to Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Bank on it. Financial insights you can count on with Jason Fields, the COO of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We're going to talk with him today about some very valuable financial information, specifically as it relates to withdrawing from your retirement savings. Some valuable information coming up. Stay tuned. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Osan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.